Make Me a Fan Podcast.
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 Welcome, everyone, to the Make Me a Fan Podcast. You know who I am. I'm joined with my beautiful wife, as most of the time, Carrie. Say hi, Carrie.
Hi.
We're sharing a mic today because we're doing a special Skype call. TJ is off today. We are joined all the way from Texas with our good friend Tammy. How you doing, Tammy?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good. Sorry we're a little late calling. Funny story that actually coincidentally has to do with our topic. We were walking our dogs real fast before we did the Skype call, and we ran into two stray dogs while we were walking.
Two, like, American Eskimos, like, beautiful dogs. Just running around, no collars.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we tried knocking on a neighbor's door that just happened to have a light on because they were kind of in the yard. Because we didn't have, like, you know, leashes or anything to try to get these dogs. And the woman told us that the dogs got out a couple weeks ago when there was a big rainstorm. And a woman in a pickup truck finally hunted them down and took them home. But apparently they don't have their fence fixed or whatever they're keeping it in. I just thought that was really kind of ironic that that happens right when we're supposed to be doing a Skype call with you to talk about rescuing animals and shelter animals.
Right. It's crazy.
So
they just keep getting out or what? Since they don't have fence fixed?
Well, that's like the first time I've ever seen a stray dog in our neighborhood. Like, no collars. So, but apparently, according to the neighbor whose door we knocked on, she said it happened before. So, I don't know. I mean, they look like they're purebred dogs, which, as I'm sure you know, can sometimes be rather expensive dogs. So,
right.
I mean, regardless if they're expensive or not, though, you should always make sure at least your dogs have collars on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So, Tammy is not only the founder of TwistedCentral.com, she's also the founder of Twisted Tales Animal Rescue, which is kind of the main reason why we wanted to have you on. If you go to the Twisted Tales Animal Rescue on Facebook, you can see all these pictures and videos of Tammy trying to, like, hunt down these stray dogs. And honestly, I was looking through the pictures you guys have on Facebook to try to find a image to use, you know, when we release the episode. And I honestly had to stop because I started crying.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah,
it is sad.
Yeah,
it's sad. But it's also, you know, we get a lot of joy out of, what you know, rescuing. So that we know that once we get them, that they're going to go to a better place, you know, and be cared for and be loved. And it's very fulfilling, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Like, Sean always thought it was crazy because I like watching, like, Animal Cops, you know, on TV. And He's like, I don't know how you can watch that. It's so sad. And it is sad, but it is also, like, it's so awesome to see the turnaround in some of the animals, which I'm sure is what you're referring to with, like, the fulfilling part of it, to see them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, our most recent one we spent, I think, Five days on her, which is not long for a street dog. And we ended up taking her. We took her a toy the last night, and because she would let me get within about 5 feet of her, but I couldn't touch her. And so we took her a toy and a blanket, and I sat down, and she came over on the blanket and got the toy and was playing with it. And after, I think, like 3.5 hours, this dog literally just walked up to me and let me put a leash on her.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I mean, and she had never let me touch her before that, but she just walked up, stood there, and I put the lead on her and we left.
Oh, so are the dogs that you rescue, are they, like, they've grown up on the streets, or are some of them, like, dogs that just people got rid of?
You know, unfortunately, we don't have any way of knowing. We sometimes can't even guess how long they've been out. You know, it's because some dogs do pretty well on the streets. You know, they're able to feed themselves, you know, and they learn the areas that they can go to. And the most recent one that was actually the second dog that we have rescued in that same area. And it's right there by all the fast food restaurants in town. So they just go there and they kind of hang out until people give them food, you know, and that's how they, neither one of them were even underweight. So.
Probably eating all those burgers.
Right. Exactly.
How long have you been doing this for?
We have our dogs that we've rescued. Not as in depth as we started about 3 years ago with the street dog rescue. Actually, the end of September was 3 years because Mickey was our first street dog rescue. And it took us 17 days to get him.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
So what started the, your rescue? Like what sparked you to just go out and just start helping the dogs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have one, and you should never do this. I'm going to say that now. but we have one that I actually stole from a lady at a flea market because he was so emaciated that I couldn't leave him behind. So I literally just picked him up and walked off with him.
Oh my God, that's awesome. I mean, it's not awesome, but that's awesome that you had the courage to do that.
And I was so mad. I was in tears. I just couldn't believe that somebody would let a dog get that bad. And then to just be so brazen to walk him around at a flea market where everybody can see him. So, I mean, I took him, and then the dog that really kind of jump started the whole rescue thing was Mickey. And we just happened to be leaving, IHOP and saw him out in the parking lot digging through a bag from the restaurant next door. And we came home and I was just sitting here miserable and kept thinking about the dog. And my husband said, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I can't stop thinking about that dog." And he said, "You want to go back?" And I said, "Yeah." And so we went back, and that started our kickoff, I guess.
So quick question though, on the dog that you saw that was starved that you got, did you take him to the vet just to make sure that it wasn't like a illness or anything like that?
Yeah. As soon as we got him, it was about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from, cause we were at a flea market way away from our home. So we drove him about 2 hours to an emergency vet cause it was on the weekend and nighttime. So we took him to the emergency vet and had him looked over, and he was fine other than, you know, he was hungry.
Oh my God. That's terrible. It makes me wonder how many other dogs that woman might have had at home.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even want to think about it, honestly. But that we ended up keeping him, and his name is Elvis. He's a little chihuahua. So, but he's a nightmare and a mess and a joy all at the same time.
Sounds a lot like our household.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're a lot more north than you were up in Wisconsin. You're down in Texas, but I lived in Indiana, which is kind of south compared to Wisconsin at least, and they had a giant stray dog population, or problem rather, down there. I actually rescued a dog that was running loose through a very major intersection. It was a pit bull Rottweiler something else mix. It had a chain embedded into his neck.
Oh goodness.
It had scars all over, mange, everything. We got a good home back up here in Wisconsin. But it seems like the South kind of has more of a problem with the strays. I know one of our rescue dogs, Izzy, she came from Texas where she was actually dragged by a car.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. there's actually a rescue in Brooklyn. It's called Badass Brooklyn Rescue. And because their stray population and their shelters up there stay, they're never at capacity. So they come down here to Texas and they pull from shelters down here. And, you know, they have, I think in February, they do a, clear the shelters for Valentine's Day. And they'll come down, take 60, 70 dogs and take them back up to Brooklyn and get them adopted out.
That's awesome. That's like how we got Izzy, because we adopted her from Lakeland Animal Shelter, which is in Delvin, Wisconsin. And it's just this really rural town. And when they have openings in their shelter, they take in dogs from the south. And that's how Izzy was like just transported there. I think she had only been there for a week. She still was like kind of bald from her accident, or not accident, but abuse rather.
Yeah, her torture.
Yeah. And it's amazing to me the things that, because I can't even get onto my animals without them looking at me like with those sad eyes, and then I feel bad. I just can't imagine somebody abusing one. It's beyond me.
Yeah, I really can't imagine it either. I mean, what would you say is the most rewarding rescue that you've had?
I mean, they all have their little moments, you know, of I don't know, reward, I guess. But I think Tig would be the most rewarding, because he was the one that was in the worst shape that we've seen. He was a Great Pyrenees, and he was way out in the country, and somebody had posted him on Facebook in this little pet group that I'm in. And my husband was standing outside, and I came out with all this stuff, and I'm like, let's go. And he's, where are you going? Where are we going? I'm like, we're going to get this dog. And I mean, he had fleas real bad, and he had an allergic reaction to fleas on top of mange, on top of a yeast infection. So, I mean, he literally just had a line of hair that went from the top of his head to his bottom, you know, where his tail starts. And I mean, he was heartworm positive. He was had, you know, roundworms, hookworms, everything. His nails had grown into his skin. I mean, he was just in bad shape. He wouldn't have lasted much longer.
My gosh. That's so sad. Do you know how old he was too, or is?
He wasn't very old, a year and a half, 2 years old, if I remember correctly.
Like, for that level of neglect to happen on such a young dog is crazy.
Yeah, it's terrible. It was terrible.
So,
he's good now. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys, so what do you do with, like, where is he now? Like, did you guys adopt him, or did you adopt him out, or how does that work?
Well, the lady that had actually posted about him, she did most of that work. We took him again to our emergency vet. I think he was there for 3 days, and then he was accepted into the Texas Great Pyrenees program. So that rescue took him in, and then he ended up, in a foster home in, I believe it was Ohio. And his foster family ended up keeping him.
Aww, foster family.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sean. How many dogs do you have?
We have 9.
You have 9 dogs of your own?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that makes us feel so much better, because we have 3 and it feels like a zoo.
So. No, we have 9.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the Twisted Tales isn't like an adoption service. Pretty much, from what I've gathered, you guys go and rescue dogs and take them to places that can help them find their forever homes, right?
Yeah, and you know, we catch some heat sometimes for that, because we won't go out and rescue a dog until we have a foster in place. But it's merely because we don't have a place to take them. You know, we can't bring them here because it causes so much stress on ours that they're already so protective, and they have their own pack going, that they fight each other if we bring another dog into the mix. And it's just not doable for us.
Wow. I can only imagine.
Yeah, we're working. We're actually looking into building a little boarding facility out here that maybe holds, you know, 3 dogs, just in case we have one that we can't find a place for it to go. Or, you know, it always happens where if we find one, it's on the weekend or on a holiday, and we can't get a hold of anybody. So we want to have a place for it to go until we can get them somewhere else.
Yeah, because you guys are nonprofit. I mean, you guys are doing this for basically the love of animals. You aren't doing it to try to get rich off it or anything. You guys just doing a good service. So for anyone to give you shit about not going out and rescuing an animal when you honestly don't have the means to do it, I don't like that.
No, I mean, it's we find a lot of, or I find a lot of times where I have to defend myself against stuff like that. But, you know, it doesn't deter us. We just keep doing what we're doing. And we enjoy it. It's hard sometimes and it's difficult. And, you know, we spend a lot of time hiding in bushes, you know, and waiting for dogs to show up so we can, you know, catch them in a trap. But it's worth it to us. So,
yeah, I can only imagine how rewarding it is. Do you have any kind of crazy stories or funny stories, like you're waiting and another dog comes and pees right next to you, or I don't know, like what's your most out there story?
You know, this one that we're working on right now, we call them the Guardian Girls, because they're Pyrenees Pointer mixes that were born on a ranch, and their whole entire lives, all they've done is guard goats. And the elderly couple that owned them, both of them got ill basically one right after the other, and they were unable to maintain the ranch that they had. So, one ended up having to go into a nursing home, and the other one is living with his daughter. So they sold off the property and they sold off the goats. And so basically out there is just the dogs. And they're scared of people. There was three of them at one time and somebody went out there and shot one of them.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
So they're very, you know, and we think there's one is black and one is white, and the white one has a pretty good limp to her. So the lady that's been feeding them thinks that it's possible that she had been shot also.
Oh my God.
So we have these, I'm trying to figure out how to explain it. Where their house sits, it's completely fenced in with a chain link fence. But it's a huge area. And when they called us and we went out there and we were looking, you know, we told them, we said, we can catch them inside this fence, but you realize we're going to be chasing these dogs around this yard, you know, from now until I don't know when, because it's so big. The area is so big. So we got some cattle panel and made the area smaller. We moved their feeding station into that area. And on the opposite side of the cattle panel is this little circle of rose bushes. And right in the middle is nothing. So we're like, oh, we can just sit right here. And we sit out there sometimes 5 hours a night, just sitting in the rose bushes. And there are mice just zipping in and out. And you can hear them. And then there's armadillos that keep digging under the fence. And they get inside with us. And
oh, my God. That sounds a little creepy.
It's a creepy. And then we got owls out there there's like screech owls out there that kind of scare us sometimes. But it's, I mean, I think that's the most crazy situation that we've had.
Is that the one you just posted some videos on Facebook where they got through a small fence, right? Is that the same ones?
Yes, that's the one.
So they're still on the run then?
They're out on the property. I mean, it's 182 acres out there. Jeez. But they know where the food is. So they come back every night. And we got them in there. We got them in the trap, and both of them, these big dogs, they're probably 50, 60 pounds each, squeeze through a 4.25-inch gap in the fence.
Wow.
I don't know.
That's what happens when they're desperate or something, or they're that fearful.
Yeah. It was, I mean, they were definitely panicked because, you know, they're just not used to being trapped. And I couldn't see because I was in the rose bushes with a rope wrapped around my hand. And by the time my husband got up there, I'm like, you see him? He's like, no. And I'm like, no, they are in there. I know they're in there. And one of them the black one had actually gotten out first, but the white one was still in there. And then as we're giving her treats and talking to her and just trying to get her more comfortable because she was scared out of her mind. She jumped up and bolted. And before my husband could get to the other gate, I mean, she was through it and gone. So, you know, now we're back to, we have to leave the gate open. We go out every night and we feed, and I have a trail camera out there watching them. And so we get uploads every hour, and they've started going back in the feeding area now. So it's just a matter of time. We just need to get them where they're comfortable going in without hesitation. And we need them both in there together.
So. Yes. So you just, you pretty much just kind of like entice them in, sweet talk them, feed them, like all the strays in general. That's how you catch them, right? You just go and try to get them close to get a leash on them, and then like bribe them basically.
Sometimes, I mean, it's a different tactic with each dog. Like these dogs out here, we can't even speak to them because they will take off running the other way. Star was one of those where you could talk to her and you could sit down next to her, and she was fine until you touched her. You know, and then we have some like Tig, for example, we gave him a cheeseburger and he went right in the crate. So, you know, and that's what we do. We take human food out there and we just kind of toss it to them, and they get closer and closer, you know, every night, the shy ones do. And then for Mickey, we ended up having to build this giant, I think it was 8x8 trap. It was like a chain link trap with a wheel on the door. And so, cause he would come, I never even got to pet him while I was trying to get him. But he would come close to me while I was tossing him food. So I just backed up into the trap, and then my husband closed the door real quick with a rope.
Wow.
So that's how we got him. It's different with every dog. We sit back and we go a couple, you know, a day or two, and then we get a feel for how the dog reacts to different things. And then we go from there.
Yeah. A lot of these like tactics you're saying sound familiar, cause I am all about Animal Planet, like pit bulls and Parolis. I've learned so much about like how to catch a dog. Not that I've ever done it myself, but yeah, it definitely looks like it requires a lot of patience. Have you? Like, where have you learned your tactics? Just from like experience, or did you have like a mentor, or like how did you?
When we started with Mickey, you know, we really had no idea what we were doing. We just knew that he liked cheeseburgers, which is where he got his name from, Mickey D's.
Love it.
And so there was a rescue. There's a street dog rescue in Dallas. It's called Duck Team 6. And they, a lady that rescued there, she was giving me advice on things to do. So she was real helpful in getting us started as well. You know, she would say, well, you know, try this and try this. And if this doesn't work, then try this. And, you know, she loaned us a big coyote trap to try to get him in there. And the first night we used it, he stepped on it early and it popped on and shut on his back, and then he would never go back in it again.
Oh, no.
So, you know, we had to come up with a different plan then. So it's all kind of, after that, we just kind of learned as we go, you know, what dogs we can approach and what dogs we should kind of just let them come to us. Sometimes you just have to completely ignore a dog, and they'll be like, hey, why aren't you trying to get me?
Aww.
So it's every dog is different.
Right.
So all our dogs are basically rescue dogs. It sounds like all your dogs are basically rescue dogs also, right?
We have one that we bought from a breeder before we knew we shouldn't buy from a breeder. But I mean, we've had him 7 years now, so we didn't know a lot about dog rescue back then. And, you know, we didn't know that buying from a breeder wasn't a good thing. But we still love him. You know, he's not any different than the other ones.
Yeah, that was kind of my transition into a lot of people requested we do an episode on why you should adopt shelter dogs or rescue dogs. And I just want to get your thoughts on people that might listen to your stories with these, you know, dogs, and they still want to go buy a $1,200 dog from Pet World or the pet store or a breeder and pay $5,000 for an inbred dog. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, there's, you made a good point with the inbreeding, especially with, you know, I'm not saying that all breeders are bad and that they treat their animals, bad, but I think the majority of breeders think that that's a way for them to make a quick buck. But these dogs that they use for that, especially the females, you're talking about a dog that's maybe 2 years old and she's had 6 litters of puppies already. You know, it takes a toll on their bodies. It, most of the time they're inbred. So the puppies come out with some kind of health problems, or, you know, abnormal growths, or their legs are, you know, twisted up deformities, I guess. It's a hard thing to convince people because they want a purebred, but if you look hard enough at shelters, you can, every shelter has some kind of purebred.
Oh yeah. Even if you, I think you can search on Petfinder for like breed specific dogs.
Yeah. And there's always, I mean, you know, I was down in, around Houston, it's further south than Houston's Bay City, after Hurricane Harvey. And we were doing rescues down there, and we rescued, I don't know how many purebred dogs that either their owners said, you know, we don't want them back, or the owners never came forward. That those dogs, you know, they put them on their 72-hour hold. And then they put up the flyers and the posters and posted them on Facebook, and then brought them back up, to this area and still held them, you know, hoping that their owners would come forward, and they just didn't. Oh my God. So, and those were, there was a lot of purebreds in there. We had, black mouth curs, we had pit bulls, we had chihuahuas and rat terriers. And it was just, I mean, if you look hard enough, if you're wanting a certain breed, if you look hard enough, you can find them at a shelter.
Yeah. From what I found, 25% of all dogs that enter local shelters are purebreds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
and that doesn't, it's not surprising to me at all, that number. I've never looked that number up, so.
Yeah, I looked up a bunch of facts on shelter dogs and rescue dogs, and out of the 10,000 so-called like puppy mills in the U.S., less than 3,000 of them are actually regulated by the Department of Agriculture.
Yeah, and that's what, and most of them, you know, they never, you, nobody even knows they're there until something bad happens. And that's where they go in and they have to take 70 something, you know, 70 to 100 dogs out because they were mistreated. And what you see coming out of those puppy mills is just, it's horrifying. And it's, you know, it's, you get mad and you get angry and you want to go and hit somebody with a baseball bat. But
I totally agree. I used to foster dogs, and I fostered a couple of puppy mill dogs. One that I got like straight after he was rescued, pretty much. Like, he was still filthy, smelled disgusting. I basically brought him in and bathed him immediately. But just, I even saw a dog on TV the other day that looked like him because he was a little white Westie. And the way he acted, like, they don't know what grass is. So, he only ever would go to the bathroom on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. He would always hide. He was terrified. And I was also young. I had just gotten into fostering dogs, so I wasn't very experienced with how to handle puppy mill dogs. So I just kind of like, I was like, all right, well, if you're going to hang out by the couch, I'm just going to hang out on the couch. And if you want to come out, you can. But he did ultimately get adopted by a woman who had another Westie. And she kind of kept me up to date for a little while after she adopted him. And like, just hearing about the turnaround he had was just so heartwarming. Like, to think, like, you know, that he is now a happy dog and he knows how to be a dog. And I think it definitely helps puppy mill dogs to be adopted into homes with other dogs so that they can learn, you know, how to act.
Yeah, it's almost the kind of the same concept where if you if a puppy is taken away from its litter too soon, then they don't learn those boundaries either from the mother, or, you know, they don't learn how to play with other dogs. They don't learn the habits of other dogs. You know, that's why they recommend that you keep them 6 to 8 weeks with their litter, because that's where they learn their manners and in pretty much how to be a dog.
Dogs and cats alike. Mom.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's important that they stay a certain amount of time, and a lot of times puppy mills, you know, they'll 4 weeks after they're born, they're up for sale.
Oh my God.
And it, you know, and they never learn those boundaries or how to be, you know, how to just be a dog. A dog doesn't want to be a human. A dog wants to be a dog.
Right, right.
And a dog needs, you know, they need leadership and they need an alpha to tell them, you know, to teach them what's right and what's wrong. Otherwise, you know, you're going to have a Marley and me running around that, you know, is getting into all kinds of mischief.
Right. Yeah. I used to, another puppy mill story. I used to have this friend who had adopted a dog from, or bought a dog rather, from a breeder. And he picked her up from the airport. So didn't even see where his dog came from, met the parents or anything. Which, side note, I highly suggest if you do go through a breeder, for our listeners out there, that if you're going to go through a breeder, at least go to the house, see where the dog mm-hmm. was raised and who, you know, the parents of the dog or whatever. Anyway, so his dog was, I think, 3 when she developed some weird blood disorder and ultimately died from it. But that is, you know, kind of going back to what you were saying with, like, you never know if they're inbred or what kind of health issues, you know, they might have from the conditions they were born into. You know, that's another reason why, even though when you get that puppy, it seems all healthy and bright-eyed and super cute, you never know what might come up later on with that mm-hmm. dog. So, yeah.
Yeah, we have a little rat terrier. He's a miniature rat terrier. And here we have this thing, it's a first Monday. It's like a big giant flea market, where they have one, there's an area is called Dog Alley, and that's where all the breeders go to sell their dogs. And we ended up over there and we're just kind of walking around, and I look down in this round pen, and there's this little puppy in there, a little rat terrier, and he's just covered in poop and he's covered in mud and his eyes were all crusted up and stuff. And
God, I can't believe people just have these dogs out in the open.
Yeah. And they did. And I'm talking to the lady about him, and she's, you know, telling me all this stuff about his parents and this and that. And I'm like, I'm looking at this dog and he's just sitting there pretty much begging me to take him. You know, I'm sure he did it to everybody, but I'm only one that caved. So, I mean, I handed her $20 and I took the dog because I didn't know what situation. He was the last puppy left, you know, and there's a problem down there of when the trade days are over, they have this influx of stray dogs that people just, they don't take them home with them. They just leave them there. So we didn't know, you know, if he was going to get left or what he was going to go back to. And we brought him home, and, his name is Buckshot. And he ended up with a hereditary disease called, leg Perthes disease, where his hip bones had fused together. He couldn't jump. He wasn't walking right. And we ended up, you know, we spent a lot of money for him having surgery to get, they went in and created false joints for him so he would be able to be, you know, a dog again, which was running around and jumping and being himself. So when you buy from a puppy mill, that's things that happen, you know, not every time, but you're going to run into a dog that's been inbred so many times that it comes out with something eventually wrong with it.
Yeah. I mean, 2.11 million puppies every year are sold from puppy mills. And yet 2.7 million dogs are killed every year because shelters are too full and they don't have, they can't find homes for them. I mean,
right.
Only one out of 10 dogs born is going to find a forever home. And homeless animals outnumber people 5 to 1. So anyone that really wants to buy a puppy mill dog just because, you know, it's purebred or it's cute or whatever. Carrie had another foster dog that I thought she was going to talk about.
Paige.
Yeah, Paige.
Paige was my first foster dog.
Yeah, she was obviously bred. You know, she was the one that was popping out the puppies, and you could tell she was super bloated. Her nipples are giant. She didn't know how to use the bathroom.
She was also a rat terrier.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Or, I'm sorry, no, she was a minipin.
Yeah, she was a miniature pincher. But mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, people don't understand with the female dogs that are being bred, that are popping out the puppies every as often as they can, they're completely depleted after a year or two, and then they serve mm-hmm. no purpose. So they're either killed or just abandoned.
Yeah, we just, my daughter actually, there's not a few miles from our house. There's a bridge that's we've already rescued 3 dogs from back there. Under that bridge, she was, driving down there and she saw this full blood red nose pit. And she was thin and she was overbred because her nipples were almost dragging the ground. She was beat up because I'm pretty sure that she was used for a breeder dog for a fighting ring.
That's the worst.
But she was tore up. And she brought her home. And of course we were, you know, we got onto her for bringing the dog home because we already had 9 dogs. And at the time she was living here. But we went ahead and let the dog stay. And then she ended up being pregnant. She had 14 puppies. So with our 2 girls living at home, that meant we had 24 dogs and a cat in the house.
Oh my gosh. But, so you were basically running your own shelter.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, she's my daughter. We wanted to adopt her out. The red nose, the mom, but she was so attached to us and Chelsea to anybody else that came around. She would growl and she would hide and nobody would take her because she was, you know, quote, aggressive. But she's not aggressive. She just doesn't like strangers. And I think she knew that something was going on. But she's still, you know, even after being spayed, I think it's been 1.5 years now that she had that litter, and she still has, you know, her nipples still hang down and her body is just broken. She's only like 2 years old.
Yeah. There's just pushed so far beyond the limits that there's no way for their body to ever actually recover. I mean, it's a miracle we can get their minds to somewhat recover. So they're, you know, almost close to being kind of a normal dog, but a lot of mm-hmm. these dogs are just abused so much, even if it's not intentional, just keeping them in cramped quarters, their collars so tight that they can't move, they're just stuck to walls and pens where their legs are just hanging out. I mean, like, the dogs barely have a chance. And you mentioned mm-hmm. that she wasn't spayed or neutered. That's another mm-hmm. thing I always thought Bob Barker was so dummy, make sure it's getting rid of your cats. I'm like, as a kid, I'm like, what does that mean? I want puppies. But yeah, 100%, you should definitely spay and neuter your animals, because there's so many animals out there that will never ever find a home. That right now there's probably hundreds of thousands of animals being put down right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
there is, and it's sad because it's not their fault, you know. Exactly. They didn't, it's almost like a human baby. You know, they didn't ask to be brought into this world. They didn't ask to be deserted. And I mean, I picked up a whole litter of puppies on the side of the road, and it was like 4 of them. One of them had already been hit by a car. And somebody called me and I said, well, you know, if you'll take them at your place, cause she has, she kind of runs, she's a foster. So she has dogs in and out all the time. You know, I said, if you'll take them at your place, then I'll go get them. And here I am. I stop on the side of a pretty busy highway and I'm running across grabbing dogs and just tossing them in my car. There was like four of them, I think. And I mean that the spaying and neutering is, it's a big, big problem. And even if we pick up a dog on the side of the road and we make sure that it's not chipped or, you know, there's always, we always have a hold and it's usually longer than 72 hours. But we always make sure before they leave here, they're up to date on their shots and they're spayed and, or neutered. Always. We don't send a dog out that's not spayed or neutered. We don't adopt out normally. We did those 14 puppies, you know, we made sure that they were, heartworm free, you know, up to date on shots and spayed and neutered before they left here though. But it's hard to find a rescue or a shelter to take 14 puppies. So, you know, we just made them ours. We have 3 acres out here that we let them, you know, I went out there myself and in the middle of summer and built this huge dog pen so that they would have a place to, so they wouldn't be stuck in the garage. Cause that's where we had them at first. They kept climbing out of the pens.
Aww.
And we came out and one of our motorcycles, the foot pegs were chewed up and stuff. And I'm like, okay, it's time for y'all to go outside.
Oh my gosh. Why do you think, so I know, I think Sean might touch base on this fact, but like the South seems to have an issue with the dog population, the strays. I mean, the stories you're saying, I would love to find a dog I could rescue, but I mean, luckily they're not, I don't find them, you know? So why do you think the South has such an abundance of strays and discarded pets?
I mean, I honestly, we have been trying to figure that out since we got involved with the Brooklyn Rescue. You know, we're like, why do they come down here? You know, and then we find out that there's just not that many strays up there that need rescue. And I don't know if it's tougher laws or if there's, you know, licensing issues or if there's like the pet police up there. I don't know. but I know the Guardian girls that we're working on now, they're 30 minutes away from here. They're in a different county, which I normally don't do. I usually just do our county. But I had helped on a lost pet recovery for the lady that I'm helping now. And she asked us to come in and help. And going out there on the back, because they live way out in the country, going out there, we see at least once a night, we're seeing dogs on the side, you know, on the side of the road.
Oh my gosh.
Luckily, when we come back, they're not there, which means they're just country dogs that people let roam.
Okay.
But they're still, I mean, you know, most of them, even these girls out here, they're not spayed. So, I mean, any time one of them goes in heat, any local dog could just come up and, you know, right. And they'd be pregnant.
Right.
So, and then we would have no telling how many dogs to trap. And
yeah. But, ugh, that's just terrible. But
spaying and neutering is definitely, it's expensive, but if you get,
it doesn't even have to
I don't
to
know
be.
If you'll have it up there.
Yeah.
No, we have like a spay and neuter clerk here.
Yeah.
That charges, I think it's only like maybe $100 maybe. And it's much cheaper than taking them to the vet to get them spayed or neutered.
Yeah. When we adopted our first dog, Ava, she was almost 2 and she wasn't fixed. And her only adoption fee per se was to prepay for her spay. This family
right.
just didn't want us breeding her, which of course we wouldn't. So I trusted that they weren't going to get rid of the dog elsewhere. And I went and did that and we ended up adopting her. But I went through, it's called MADC in Milwaukee. It's Milwaukee Animal Domestic Control Center, I think. And mm-hmm. with her spay and license and rabies vaccine, I think the total bill was like $110.
Is it a microchip?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think she was microchipped too. So it can be affordable. I think just informing people, making, you know, getting the resources out to people, maybe they're not aware.
Right. It's, you know, it's a lot easier now, especially with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff, to get the word out on getting this stuff done.
For sure.
But it's still the people who have dogs have to want to get it done. Otherwise they're not even going to try to find that option. And that's a lot of times, especially with purebred, you know, they're like, well, I don't know. I haven't decided if I'm going to breed them yet or not, you know, maybe once. And then once, you know, they do it once and they see how much money they can make off of it. And then they're like, okay, well, maybe I'll do it again. And, oh, you know, you kind of want to smack them a few times and go, no, fixed. But I mean, that's how it's the mentality of people. Most breeders just see them as money.
Yeah, that's terrible. I think it's one of the prerequisites of owning a dog, I think, is you should want to spay or neuter it, because not only does it prevent more puppies from being born that are probably going to be, you know, put down because they're not going to have a home, but it also has health benefits for your pet and behavioral benefits too.
Yeah. And my brother, I remember they bought a dog from a breeder. It was Alaskan Eskimo. Is that such a thing? I can't remember.
I think so. But
they, you know, they decided they weren't going to breed her, so they had her spayed. And as soon as they had her spayed, she had such a hormone imbalance that her hair started falling out. She got sick. And, you know, of course, once you spay them, you can't reverse that. And so they had to, I mean, they spent a lot of money on that dog just trying to get everything regulated. And it turns out she was so inbred that, that problem, that hormone, whatever it was, ended up was genetic. And you never know when you buy from a breeder, you never know. And it's, I mean, I guess if you adopt from a shelter, you never know what you're getting either, but, at least you know that you're not contributing to that cycle of it's just a repetitive thing. You breed a dog, they breed the dogs, they sell them, they breed the dogs, they sell them. If they keep one, then they breed that one with its own mother, you know, or sister or brother, whatever. And it's just an endless cycle. And until the laws are changed, it's just going to keep going.
Yeah, I agree. I think you said you don't know what you're getting when you get a shelter dog, but at least you know when you're getting a shelter dog that dog is going to have a chance to have a good life. It's not going to be put down. And then you're not contributing to the evilness of, you know, puppy mills or careless breeders or anything like that. And I do agree that we really need better laws for puppy mills and for animal abuse and neglect too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's got to be some change in the law as far as is abuse, because it's, I've seen some disgusting shit that people have done. And I mean, we've never personally, we haven't rescued a dog that's been like severely, severely abused. Thankfully, we have not had that happen. But it does happen, you know, and until things change, it's not going to, they're just going to keep going.
Yeah, I think things are on the rise. Like, things are getting better. Like, I saw something on Facebook the other day that said California, I think, passed a law now where, like, pet stores can no longer sell puppy mill puppies. They have to sell shelter dogs or something, rescue dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said earlier, with social media, I think that really helps, just like putting out these stories of just, you know, sad stories about puppy mill dogs or just, you know, dogs in general needing homes. And I think it's making people in general more sympathetic maybe to animal life.
Right. And it is definitely on the rise as far as the way people, you know, when I was growing up, it was kind of the mentality, which I grew up in the sticks of East Texas, where everybody was just kind of, what, it's just a dog, you know, it's, well, why don't you bring that dog in the house? You know, it's 10 degrees outside. It's just a dog. It'll be fine. You know, and, right. And for a long time, that was the mentality. And I think now I see it where people actually care about what happens to a dog. Hell, here in Texas, it's just now came illegal for you to tether your dog outside.
Was that because of the hurricane?
Inclement weather. No, it was before that. But, oh, okay.
Well, it gets pretty hot down there, too.
I'm sorry?
I said it gets pretty hot down there. I imagine tethering your dog outside in 110 degree heat all day isn't a good thing.
Yeah, no, and it's not. I mean, we, you know, our first dog that when we moved into our house, the previous owners had actually left a dog here. And it was a Great Pyrenees that would just, was a Great Pyrenees that would just kind of roam. And we decided that we were going to keep her, you know, we took her first shots and all that. But she had been, I don't know what they did to her, but like she wouldn't come in the garage. And if my husband was in here unpacking stuff and rolling up an extension cord or whatever, she would freak out and run.
Oh my gosh.
So she apparently wasn't even allowed in the garage. Which we fixed that, you know, when we got the doors fixed where they would come up and down with the motor, we would leave it open enough where she could get in and out. But she ended up having a heat stroke and passed away, but Great Pyrenees shouldn't be in Texas anyway. It's just too hot for them. I mean, it gets crazy hot. And when you're, a lot of people just don't realize, I mean, there's a lot of times I would like to chain people to a tree just so they could see, you know, what it's like or leave them in a car.
Exactly. You know? Our thoughts. Exactly.
But they don't get it. They think a lot of the mentality around here is still, it's just a dog.
Yeah. And a lot of people care, but they don't want that negative feeling of feeling bad. Like we've had people complain about, you know, if we post something on Facebook with, you know, a sad story about a dog, it's, people are like, oh, why do you got to post that? It's ruining my day. I don't want to look at that negative shit. And I can relate because, you know, when the sad commercial comes on TV with the Sarah McLachlan song and you see
I don't even watch those.
Yeah, I can't watch them either. So I understand, but at the same time, like, you can't just put your head in the sand and pretend like none of this shit happens, or, you know, it's like you said, it's just a dog, or, you know, I don't want to feel sad. And people have to be aware that this shit's going on, and you can't support that stuff.
No, and if you do support it, then you're just not a very good person. And I don't want you on my Facebook anyway, or in my life. We had somebody come out here one time that was, you know, I lived here when I was a teenager and moved away and came back. And so an old friend of mine, when I was a teenager, they had come out to visit and they were with my sister, and they were standing here in my garage telling me how their dog had puppies and they didn't want them. So they just dumped them off.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I was like,
did they not know you? Like how you, like where you stand?
Yeah. We got 10 dogs running around in the yard, you know? And, I mean, I kind of just told her, she said something about spaying, getting the dogs fixed. And as you know, if you would take the money that you spend getting that fake shit in your hair, you know, you might save that money and get your dog fixed.
If you can't, I mean, reach out, like Google. I mean, the internet is a wonderful thing. Find what to do.
And they fortunately have not been back here.
Yeah, I think my reaction would be like, well, I'm going to have to kick you out of my yard now. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I don't need people like you in my house. And like one thing I always found was like if our dogs don't like someone for whatever reason, there's probably a good reason behind it. I think dogs are very good judge of character.
They are. You know, our kids, when they would bring friends home and our dogs didn't like them, and I'm like, that's not a very good person right there. But we have the leader of the pack, our little 11-pound rat terrier. He don't like any stranger. He's
oh,
like,
God, that's so funny.
Yeah, he's like, nope, you can't come in. Nope, you can't. And he just don't like anybody. So
so you have, is either 11 pound one the, your smallest?
Currently, yeah, we had my daughter had had a car wreck in at the end of May.
And
when she got out of the hospital, she came back here to stay with us, and she had her little 4 pound Morkie was living here. So at that time she was the smallest, but yeah, I think he's the smallest now, and he's a leader. He runs the pack.
And how big is your biggest one?
She is the red nosed pit that my other daughter rescued. The biggest one is one of her puppies that we kept, which I believe she's like a pit bull Great Dane mix. So she's like 80 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
So we run the gamut around here.
That's
we
awesome.
We have all sizes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I mean, that's us. We got small, medium, and large over here. Oh, and then we have extra small because we have a cat as well. But
yeah,
our little one though, she acts like she's tough shit, but then she's terrified of like every dog, people. She's just like, oh my God, mom, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?
The only time our little guy gets scared is if we put him in the car and take him away from the house. And then he's like, mush.
He probably knows he has it so good. He doesn't want to go anywhere.
Yeah. And he's a tough guy here, but you get him to the vet and he like shits on himself, you know? I feel bad for him, but you know, he's got to go get his shots. And I wish we could find like a traveling vet. That way, you know, none of the dogs would even have to leave. But that's our fault too. You know, every dog should be socialized. You know, they should be taken away from home and walked around and, you know, taken to little doggy parks or just to the vet for, you know, to pick up some food or something, you know, so they're not so terrified when they leave. Cause the only one that we have that doesn't freak out when they leave the house is the pit bull Great Dane, because I take her with me. I was determined for her not to be that way. So I started taking her with me when I would go places. So she knows that if she goes, for example, she goes to PetSmart, she gets to pick out her own toy. And then afterwards we take ice cream. So she knows the routine. So she, once we get her in the car, she's like, yeah, I get ice cream. So
yeah, our dogs, we go to the dog park a couple times a week, actually. And it's awesome. But then it's like every single time I go to the garage door, they're like, oh, my God, where are we going? And it's just like, oh, my God. But I totally agree.
Yeah.
Socialization is definitely key with dogs.
One, it's not just good for the owners for when they have to load them up and take them, you know, for that trip to the vet. You know, it's good for them too, because there's not that stress of the situation. And when you do take them out, you know, you don't have to worry about what they're going to do. Are they going to bite somebody? Are they, you know, then that's, you open up a whole new can of worms when that happens. I know ours mostly are too scared to bite anybody if we take them out, but, they just, and it's stressful on them. I mean, our little guy, he shakes so bad, you could probably mix a margarita on his back. he is terrified.
Yeah.
So it's for everybody.
Yeah, that our little one, Izzy, she actually has like a heart condition. And I had to take her to a cardiologist a couple weeks ago. And I don't know what it was, because she's been to the vet before and she's been okay at the vet. But when we were at the emergency vet to see this cardiologist, she was like a little vibrator. I could not believe how incredibly terrified she was. And I kind of wonder if maybe the smells were the same as to when she was, you know, at the vet initially when she had after she was abused. So.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, but dogs are so,
we have one that, we adopted her from a shelter in Dallas, and she was a street dog rescue that they had taken from a shelter. We rescued her from a no-kill, or we adopted her from a no-kill shelter. But she, any loud noise, she is terrified. I mean, she will go and hide. My husband, you know, we live pretty far out in the country, so we have a safe, you know, we have guns. And if he's going through his guns or doing anything, anytime she sees a gun, I mean, even if you just hold, even it could be a pellet gun, and she is under the closest thing that she can find. So you don't, you never know. I mean, they're so smart and they do remember things, but they, a lot of times they just want to be loved and taken care of and not have to worry about getting hurt and things like that. And you'll find, you know, in our street dog rescue, we find some dogs, they're just, they're done. You know, they're tired of being on the street. And that's kind of like with this last rescue. I think once she realized we weren't going to hurt her, she was just, she was done. She was tired of being on the street, tired of fighting for her food. And she's kind of just like, okay, you know, take me to a better place, basically.
For sure. Dogs, animals in general, rely on humans to be their caretakers.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a question for you. So, kind of both of us, we adopted, I don't know if Sean told you, this Rottweiler a couple months ago.
And mm-hmm. I've seen him, yeah.
Yeah. And so he just turned two, and he is terrified of walks. He loves the dog park, but is terrified of walking in our neighborhood. As soon as we get the leash out, he's like running away and hiding. Like, mm-hmm. do you have any idea why he would be like that, and or how to like get him over this irrational fear?
I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, he could have been walked improperly. You know, there's a lot of, sometimes people like pull and tug on leashes because the dog is pulling and tugging. So their first reaction to get them back where they're supposed to be is to pull on that leash. He could have been, I don't know where he came from. So I don't know what his story is, but he could have been hit with a leash. I don't know. It's hard to say, but I would suggest, that maybe you put the leash on him while he's at home and kind of let him drag it around. You know, just walk around with it on him. And also, you know, of course he's, while he's being monitored so that it doesn't get hung on anything.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it seems like he's mostly scared of cars. It was like when he sees a leash, that means he knows he's going for a walk. And when a car drives by, all he wants to do is go and lay in the ditch. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever been hit by a car, but that's what it seems like.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I'm not good with, I mean, we even had to hire a trainer for our dogs. But
yeah, I know that's what we're looking into doing now, actually.
A lot of times whenever you're walking him and a car comes by, do you, whoever's walking him, do y'all tense up and like hold the leash tighter, or do you kind of relax, or do you get tense? Because it's like when you're walking a dog, if you tense up, then it's almost like it goes through that leash and the dog is automatically like, oh crap, what's coming? You know, is there something I'm supposed to be afraid of? So it might, you know, it might do good to give the leash a little bit of play. And whenever a car comes, you just, you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah, no, I don't, I'm the one that walks him because he would honestly drag Carrie about 3 miles if he decided to run. He weighs as much as she does, basically. But no, I don't tense up at all. I read a lot about trying to fix it, so I don't try to drag him through his little freakouts, but I also don't like cotter him and, you know, be like, oh, it's okay, don't be scared. Like, yeah. I try to just tell him, hey, we're walking now. There's nothing to be scared of. We're just going to keep walking.
Mm-hmm. And I know with dogs, a lot of times that positive reinforcement works. You know, if you're walking him and a car is coming, you're just, good boy, you know, good boy. Let's just keep going. Good boy.
Yeah. When he walks through it, that's when I tell him he's a good boy. But if he's, you know, trying to lay in the ditch, I'm not going to go up and be like, oh, don't worry. It's okay.
Yeah. No, because it's not okay. Yeah. You know, and they read that. They know when they do good and when they do bad. And it's the same thing. Our little troublemaker, 11-pound rat terrier, he always slept in the bed with us. And my husband works out of state, so he's gone a lot. And he would sleep over there on his side of the bed. Well, when my husband would come home from work, there's been several times where he would like get aggressive when my husband was trying to get into bed. And my husband would kind of be like, it's okay. It's okay, Bucky. It's okay. And I'm like, no, it's not okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you have to, when he's crated at night now, and we let him on the bed when we allow him to be on the bed, because it's kind of like you have to take that initiative, because dogs do really want to be, not necessarily controlled, but they want to have that strong alpha presence that tells them what to do. That's why they always look to their humans for, you know, kind of like, what did I do good? You know, right. Or, you know, and then you can tell also when they do bad, they know they're doing wrong because they have that look on their face. Like, oh crap, yeah. I'm in trouble. You know, so they just want to be dogs, and they want to have somebody that tells them basically what they're supposed to do. And if they don't have somebody that tells them that, then there's always one in the group that will take that position. And then it's usually you end up with trouble like we had, because we did not take that seriously as to them needing that control.
Yeah, I think a lot of people with smaller dogs tend to do that, actually. Like, they're just like, oh, you're just so little and cute, and just let them get away with everything. And it's like, mm-hmm. We're definitely not like that in our house. Like, when our little one is misbehaving, I let her know. She doesn't mm-hmm. get special treatment. I try to not hold her all the time, but she is so afraid of like big dogs and crowds that it's like I had to buy a little purse to carry her in, or she's just mm-hmm. like crawling up my leg.
Yeah.
So,
and we made a mistake because Bucky is the one that had the problem with his hips, and we babied him. Whenever he could, of course, he's walking around here looking like Frankenweenie, because he had so many stitches and staples, and it was just, you know, and so we babied him, you know, we took him out by himself, you know, we put him in the bed. I spent, I don't know how many hours just in the bedroom with him so that none of the other dogs would bump him or hurt him, or, you know, like if I had him out. And the other dogs would come around, you know, we're pushing them away, going, no, you can't. No, get back. So now he's got that bubble around him, like, I'm untouchable. So don't come over here and mess with me. So, and it's, you know, we've created this problem, and we're trying to get a handle on it, because, you know, we've already had him and one of our other, she's like a border collie mix, have already been hurt by the Great Dane because she's so big that if there's a fight going on, she, of course, you know, it's a pack mentality. She's going to jump in it. And she's so big that she doesn't realize how strong she is. And she's already hurt two of them. So we have had to get that under control.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Brock is like that. He doesn't realize he's, you know, 100-pound Rottweiler. He thinks he's still just a 12-week-old puppy, despite being 2 mm-hmm. years old.
Yeah.
Wax his butt into everyone.
Yeah. Wax his head into the table constantly because he doesn't know how to turn around properly.
Right. We have to watch Xena because her tail is like a fucking whip. I can say that. I can say the F word.
Yeah, you can say fuck as much as you want.
Her tail is like a whip, and she will beat the hell out of you with that tail. And, you know, if any dog is standing behind her, you know, and sometimes it pisses the other dogs off, and then kind of get fussy. And it's just trying to, especially with my husband gone so often, me by myself trying to break up like a 6-dog fight, is it's sometimes impossible. And then I get bit, or, you know, one of the kids, none of the kids have been bit because they always are kind of like standing back going, Mom. But it always ends up, you know, it used to be just a few little nicks and cuts here and there because all the other dogs were so little or compared to her.
Yeah.
Then they would and get done and then they'd be over with.
Yeah, I've heard if you like encounter dogs in a fight, you're supposed to like grab their back legs and hold on like a wheelbarrow kind of thing or whatever.
Yeah, and that works for pretty much any dog except Bucky because he's the one that had the hip problem.
Oh, right.
So we tried not to grab him, and he's usually the aggressor. So we try not to grab him by his back legs, but
could you just like pick him up though?
And that's usually when I get bit
by Bucky.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I mean, we haven't had a fight in a long time, thankfully. Well, not a long time. It's been 3-4 months.
That's pretty long.
Yeah. For as many dogs as we have. But I mean, we have a lot of, like, we've been working on place training, and unfortunately we have Bucky and Xena, the big one. They have to sit. They spend a lot of time on tie outs inside the house on their placemats because if I'm doing stuff around the house, I don't have time to run and get a hold of a leash before a fight breaks out. And Xena can do, she can do a lot of damage to a dog in just a little bit of time.
Yeah, for sure.
Xena's your pit bull mix?
Great Dane.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Great Dane. Yeah. And she just doesn't, I mean, the last time they got into a fight, she, usually a dog bites and then they let go and then they bite again. But she actually bit and then she was shaking. Ooh. And so the wound that she left on the dog was actually a through and through.
Oh my gosh.
Which doesn't normally, I mean, even the emergency vet was like, this is only maybe the second time we've seen this. And then it's also, you know, she picks up and she shakes. And so it tears all that skin away from the tissue that's underneath, which creates pockets of air, which can create infection and necrosis and all kinds of stuff. So it's, I mean, and she's not, I mean, I know I'm making her sound like she's this scary, aggressive dog.
Oh no, she's a dog.
She's not. She's very sweet, and the only time we ever have any problem out of her is when another dog starts a fight. So she wants to go in and jump in, which is, you know, that's a dog thing. It's a pack. We have a pack. So
yeah, for sure. Our dog Ava, she's, and ask anyone that's ever met Ava, they'll say she's the sweetest, most perfect dog ever. But when we got her, we actually had to get a muzzle for her because she was attacking my 100-pound Rottweiler German Shepherd mix that I had at the time and taking chunks of fur out of him. So, I mean, dogs are they're not worse than humans. You get any human mad, they're going to want to fight. It's the same with dogs. Right. They're just defending themselves. You know, it's
exactly
nature.
Yeah. And that's, you know, even it's the same thing. We don't ever know, even if we find a stray or a street dog or even a, you know, we do a lot of lost pet recovery. And sometimes those dogs that get away from their owners, they're so scared, you know, they're in a strange place. They don't know where they are. And so we have to be real careful as, you know, we don't ever know what a dog is going to do.
Yeah, it's, for sure.
A dog, when it's scared, can turn into, you know, a wild boar and just run at you.
Yeah. They're descendants of wolves. Every single dog is basically, you know, the grandson of a wolf. So
right.
You can't expect them to be a cute, fluffy lassie all the time. They do have their nature, especially when they're scared, you know, or hungry or abused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was a little nervous at first when those two big Eskimo dogs came running up to us.
Yeah, anybody, even me, if I'm as many dogs as we've dealt with, if I'm out on the street and some big-ass dog comes running at me, there's going to be something inside of me that's like, you know, where's my pepper spray or do I have a gun or, you know?
Yeah.
Because large dog can, you know,
can, they can do a lot of damage real fast.
Yeah. Oh, hell, even a small dog can do damage. It just depends on the person. Like Bucky, he bit me. He was getting after our border collie to death. And they were kind of in it, or about to get in it, in our small little hallway. So I run up and I grab Bucky, and he bit me on my bicep, but down towards my, where the elbow bends, mm-hmm. Where that artery is. And that wound was open and bleeding and oozing for like 2 days. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
I told my husband, I said, if it doesn't stop bleeding, I'm going to have to go to the doctor. Cause if he nicked that artery, you know, I'm going to die.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, I don't have a whole lot of time left now, baby.
And you didn't have to go to a doctor, I assume. You're okay. Or did you end up going to a doctor?
Yeah, no, it was kind of like I woke up the next morning and it was closed up or not bleeding anymore. But there was 2 nights in a row where I completely bled through the bandage that I had on there.
Oh my God. If I lived with you, I'd have been like, you need to go to a doctor right now.
Yeah, sorry, I just got stitches on Monday. So.
Yeah. Sorry, I was digging in my fridge.
Oh, no problem.
Grab a beer. So, you know, it's dog rescue. It's kind of, we really just go out and kind of assess the situation. These two girls we have now that we're trying to get, I was concerned at first because I was out there by myself. And I was like, well, what if I get these two dogs in the pen, you know, in the trap? And what am I supposed to do? You know, I can't go over that fence with two dogs that I don't know, you know, pretty good sized dogs that are scared. And, you know, what if I go in there and they just get aggressive and attack? And, you know, what am I supposed to do then?
Yeah, for sure. You got to worry about your safety, too.
Yeah, and that's what I tell everybody. You know, I have to worry about my safety first, because if I don't, then I can't help anybody.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
We, you know, we've since invested in like a, it's called a catch pole.
Yeah.
So we invested in one of those. We also invested in a net gun.
That sounds like something Batman will have.
Yeah, you know, you hit the button and it shoots out a net, and the dog gets tangled up in it, and basically they're trapped there until you get them out. So I mean, we're working on things to make it safer and a little bit easier to catch dogs. I know some rescues, and I hesitate to even call them rescues because there's really no challenge in it, where they go out and they drug the dog's food.
I was actually going to ask about that.
We don't do that. I don't do that. I would rather go out, you know, every single day for 6 hours a night for a month than put, you know, drug a dog's food.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you don't know what, first of all, if you're dealing with a street dog, you don't know their weight.
Yeah, you don't want to give it too much and have it overdose.
Right. And then if it's a street dog that kind of just wanders, they eat that food and then they go away and they pass out, and then they're subjected to the elements. They're subjected to other predators. And then they're basically helpless because they're drugged up. And so we don't do things like that. For us, I like the challenge of catching a street dog, and the harder it is for me, the more into it I get. Just because it's, you know, it's satisfying to us because it's something that's really difficult. It's a challenge that's really difficult. And then once we succeed, it's, you know, I think you get more out of it when you actually have to try and work hard to get it. It's like going to school. If you cheat the whole way, if you cheat your way through school, you really haven't done anything.
Yeah. You haven't learned anything and you haven't actually achieved anything.
Right. And in every rescue, we learn something new. For example, we won't be, even if there's a little 4-inch gap in a gate, we'll be closing that from now on. Yeah. You know, we'll be making sure that that is not there.
Yeah. Well, we should wrap things up, but I was wondering if you have, and I'm sorry, I did not have a chance to check out your page like Sean did. Do you have like a page where people can donate to what you do?
We had an issue a while back with our website. We had somebody hosting it and they didn't keep up with it. So the website that we had, where we had all those buttons and stuff, expired, and then somebody else bought it, basically.
Yeah, I was going to say, so, I tried going to it and it wasn't working.
Yeah. Well, I changed the name up a little bit and then got a domain name, but I haven't had time to work on the actual website. We're still trying to figure out which place to host it through. I have my Twisted Central email that people can donate to if they want to. But it's going to go to Twisted Central, not Twisted Tales.
Yeah, they can go to twistedcentral.com and help you get some ad revenue too by reading all the awesome horror news that you post.
I try. I mean, dogs have kind of consumed our life here lately. So yeah. I've been doing a whole lot of posting, but.
I check out twistedcentral.com a lot because it's got some good reviews and, you know, good news when you have time to post when you're not saving dogs and whatnot.
Yeah, it's kind of time consuming. You know, we're, especially these girls, we're working. It's, we're on day 17 now. Jeez. So it's, we're out there most of the time during the night. And then I have to come home and I get my kid ready for school and then get the dogs fed and out and then sleep, you know, sometime. At some point, I have to sleep.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think that you have 9 dogs and then you have a family you're taking care of and you're trying to rescue dogs. You are definitely a Wonder Woman, that's for sure.
I don't know about that, but, you know, I do what I can.
That's all that matters. That's awesome, though, that you do that.
Yeah, this has been one of the kind of saddest podcasts I've done, but also one of my personal favorites so far. I really like hearing good, happy endings with dogs and animals in general. There's so many sad stories out there you see on Facebook and whatnot. And I really hope people can get out of the habit of just going to the pet store, buying a puppy mill dog, or, you know, I only want a purebred, because you're going to find all that at a shelter or a pound, you know. And people work really hard to save these dogs, and these dogs have been through God knows what, you know. So I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, Tammy. I really enjoyed this podcast, and I hope you did as well.
I did, and I appreciate you guys having me on. Hopefully I gave you some good, decent information. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I love hearing the stories about, you know, hiding out in the rose bushes and then dogs slipping out through fences. And everyone can go on their Facebook page and, you know, watch the videos, see the pictures, you know, just go like, share with your friends, you know, tell everyone to go to twistedcentral.com, you know, get some horror movie news if you like horror movies, you know.
Or check out their Facebook page at.
Yeah, it's Twisted. I forget what exactly it is. I had it written down.
It's facebook.com/twistedtalesanimalrescue.
Yes, Twisted Tales Animal Rescue. Go there.
And then what's your email where people could reach out to if they wanted to, like, donate anything?
It's considering we had the issue with the website, the best place to reach me would be twistedcentral@gmail.com right now until we can get the website set up.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for talking to us, Tammy, and good luck. I hope you get the Guardian Girls.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to be keeping up to date now on your Facebook page to see what comes of those two girls.
It's a challenge, I'm telling you.
Sounds like it.
I'm sure you got this one.
I hope so. But you guys have a good night.
All right, you too. Thanks again, Tammy.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. Did you enjoy that, Carrie?
Yeah, it was very informative for sure.
All right. So sponsor time. Go to Deerwood Photography at Facebook. That's facebook.com/Deerwood Photography. Check out all the awesome, amazing photos that you can find there. It's a, how would you describe it? A life photography?
Yeah, like a life photography for sure.
Yeah, whether it's first birthday, 16th birthday, prom, wedding, dogs, cats, horses, miniature goats, whatever.
Mostly children portraits and families.
Yeah, but if you go there and you tell them that the Make Me a Fan podcast sent you over there, you will get a free print. And then also go to getbalanceyoga.com. If you are in southeastern Wisconsin, you got to do some yoga. Got to find your zen, stretch out your muscles, you know, just relax. You can go to 9733 West St. Martin's Road in Franklin, Wisconsin. Use the promo code MMAF and you will get 1% off any package or shirt or anything. And I think if you just tell them MMAF repeatedly every time you say it, you get an extra 1%. So just go there and be like, MMAF, 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 MMAF. All right. It's gone on long enough. All right. Say goodbye, Carrie.
Adios.
All right. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Make Me a Fan Podcast.
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 Make Me a Fan Podcast.